From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Bread. There's a quadrant of us today. It's Lee Banks, Rachel Branson and Matt Hetherington down in Australia, as well as myself over here in Slovakia. And as promised, there's a whole new meaning to a cyber hug. Oh, this is love. Have you not seen Pepper?
Pepper?
Pepper.
Pepper.
Oh, that's, I know what you're talking about now.
Pepper. It's lovely. Why has everybody gone quiet on me?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know what you're talking about. I'm a good boy.
Well, apparently, an emotionally aware robot.
Pepper robot. Yeah. Okay. Now, yeah, I'm with you. Sorry, it's very, very late.
But it knows when you're sad.
This is scary stuff.
Why?
It is scary.
We're turning a scary corner.
Why?
I agree with you. I think you're absolutely right, yeah.
When a robot starts to make a decision as to whether you're happy or sad, it's like, what is that based on the shape of my mouth? Can you feel my emotions? Yeah. Is my energy level shifted? Because if you get that wrong and we advance this, then all sorts of crazy, awful things are going to start happening.
No. Yeah. No.
That whole robot law thing is absolute bunk. You ask Will Smith.
Yes. Well, Lee will probably remember this. I don't know if you guys remember it, because you two are far too young. Lee's not. I'm pretty sure it was Sony that developed this thing in the mid-90s.
Sony were invented when you were born.
Thank you. It was a puppy dog, but it was a robot dog that had a bone.
Robot dog?
And a bone, and if you didn't feed it right, it sulked and sat down and it barked, and you could make it happy by stroking it and yada, yada, yada. And they were a lot of money, if I remember rightly, Lee, when they first came out.
They were. And, you know, I said at the beginning, like an emotionally aware robot called Pepper. That's exactly what my first wife was like, an emotionally aware robot. And she cost a lot of money as well. And I had been chat about this.
Well, anyway, because of what I was doing at the time, I was given one of these things. So I thought, good idea, 6-year-old Caroline, she can test it, see if she can break it.
I'll give it to her for free. So this is another kind of child abuse on the works of Mr. Wiltshire.
What?
So just give things, she only got a present because he got it for free off somebody else and say, I don't have that.
But she's still got the ruddy thing, that's the funny thing about it. She's still got it, and it still works.
It's a pretend dog. He gave your daughter a pretend dog.
It got a bone.
Well, some robots are quite sophisticated.
You could teach it to say, if you actually learnt your voice, so when you said sit, it did.
As long as it understood exactly what you'd said then.
Exactly. Can you imagine some of the... I'm being serious for me. You think some of the older people, the older generation around the world... who are on their own, get very despondent because nobody ever goes to see them, this could be kind of nice for them.
They could just buy
a dog, you freaks. Get an actual dog, oh my God.
Get a girlfriend or a boyfriend, not a robot that is emotionally aware that you're upset.
I'm not going to win this one, am I?
It's absolutely like Matt said, it's really, really dangerous. This is changing. We already have cameras that will photograph people based on their emotions at the time and express that emotion. We already have robots that build everything that we want, including computers. A computer's nothing but a robot, really. And really, we are all controlled by our laptops, our cars, our everything else. And now we're bringing pet dog robots into our homes.
But it's not a dog, it's a little person.
It's a little person, little lonely.
Have a relationship with an actual person.
Oh, really?
How about that?
That's a good place. Have you ever tried that, Rach?
Once. I didn't do well with it. I know a lot of people, but I like very few.
Yeah, but...
Exactly.
But we're... You know, you're not here now.
Who isn't?
No.
You're not.
I am.
You're not.
No, I am.
You're there. You're not here.
Ah, but there here is there to me.
No, it's there.
No, you're there. I'm here.
I'm
getting a migraine.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, a new speed reduction system fails in London as a giant octopus
Oh, my Lord.
Blocks the road and caused traffic chaos during the morning rush hour right in the heart of London. Bemused shoppers snapped pictures of this polystyrene beast that was on the back of a lorry which broke down in the middle of the it's a diagonal crossing at Oxford Circus. Yeah. Unbelievable. So this giant thing, and everybody just stops. The whole world comes to a halt because of... They didn't try and push the lorry out the way. It wasn't a big lorry. It was a normal lorry.
And you know, it had a big octopus on it.
Well, the octopus was made of polystyrene.
You know what the problem is?
It could have just blown away.
Exactly.
We could have swam away the way it rained here.
Yes.
Maybe have you seen what the problem is called?
No.
Roman self-drive. Should have let the octopus drive, shouldn't it?
Yes.
That's against the trade descriptions act. wasn't driving.
Exactly. And by the way, if you know somebody really famous and you happen to get a spot on Millionaire,
yeah,
don't phone them.
No.
Don't do it. Because a German politician, Wolfgang Bosbach, was on Millionaire and he didn't know the answer. So he phoned Chancellor Angela, I'm not calling her Angela. Angela Merkel.
Angela Merkel.
Yes, right.
She can't ski for anything, godmother. And she doesn't answer her phone.
So she forgets. Surely this bloke had said to her, here, Ange, can you help me out, mate? I'm going to be on Millionaire. Can you take the phone call, right? And she texts him back later saying, sorry, I forgot to answer the call.
Yeah, that's because she was in a counting house counting all the tax she wasn't paying.
Oh, Bennett. Okay, here's one for the oldies. John Lennon's scribbles.
You know what? We know who he is. We know who he is. We're not old. This isn't for the oldies.
Do you
want
to say his name?
I was going to say John Lennon. That's all right.
See? Rachel.
John Lennon.
What?
You're just so pushy. That poor Eric was just trying to explain to the ladies, gentlemen.
I want my little robot friend.
Yeah.
Where's my little robot friend?
Like to work with Eric, my little robot friend.
Oh, but by the way, that reminds me. Before we do this story, I've got to congratulate the wonderful Debbie Flint, who's been for years and years a great friend of mine. She works on QVC UK. Quality, value and convenience, your shopping channel.
Is that what it means?
Yes, QVC, quality, value, convenience. I know that because I was once a presenter on there. And anyway, there she is. They're on the set and it's the special price product of the day. And it's a very concentrated cleaning liquid. So what the guy who's selling it's done is he's put this whole wall of plastic bottles up to demonstrate how much this concentrate makes when you buy it, therefore saving you loads of money. At which point, Debbie turns round with her elbow and catches the second tier of this bottle of this plastic mountain of bottles, and they all go ba-boomf all over the floor. Everybody's in hysterics, including the crew, and they have to take a little commercial break. Debbie, it was wonderful television. I love it.
What's that got to do with John Lennon's art?
Well, it just came into my head.
Oh, all right.
Well, I want to see it. I want to see the bottles falling down. That's what it's got to
do
with it.
Hilarious. If you go to qvc.co.uk and have a look on there, on the bloopers section, it is still there.
Oh, yay.
Yes.
Look, listen to us all furiously searching.
Yeah. Anyway, Sketches and Manuscripts by Beatle John Lennon have sold at auction for oodles of money.
Do we need to introduce him as Beatle John Lennon anymore? Isn't he capable of standing alone without the Beatles? The Beatles were the most...
He doesn't care, because he's not here.
The Beatles were middle-of-the-road rubbish. John Lennon was quite edgy and
attacking. Oh, my word. All complaints to...
Don't you agree, Matt?
I do. I'm a huge Beatles fan. I love them.
I just said what a load of rubbish they are. You've just agreed with me.
I wasn't listening to you.
You weren't listening.
It's talking rubbish. That's why.
No, I said I agree with Eric and Rachel. I didn't say I agree with you.
Yeah. Where's the JCB digging you out of that hole? just more to the point. What do you mean they're rubbish?
The Beatles were... I've said this so often, people could quote it. The Beatles were just a psychedelic ABBA. ABBA were actually quite good. The Beatles were second-rate, middle-of-the-road rubbish. They were like the Daniel O'Donnell of the hippie age.
No, whereas you, John it's your
Lennon
age.
Was quite charming.
It's your age. You're getting mixed up.
I'm not getting... What were getting... What? Why?
Because of... He's been listening too much to Dob Billen.
I'll tell you what,
it's
Royal Bobness has just brought another album out at 72, and he's gone right to the top of the charts, just like his last one did, and he's on a 160-day tour of the world. What's happened to the rest of the Beatles, the ones that are alive? That singing tortoise Paul McCartney, what an idiot he is. He should be there with that postulating non-sting.
Turn your headphones off for a sec. It's really getting loud.
It's getting a bit...
So, I've finished now.
Thank you very much.
Matt, have you ever played a Beatles track, you know, in the band?
Have you ever seen one?
Heaps of them. I love them. I grew up with them, and I'm sorry, Lee, I adore the Beatles. I was playing
How
a Beatles song to my son
Beatles?
Tonight.
I'll give
well,
you
I love
I'll give
the
you
harmony, the song. Lyric.
The diversity of them is enormous.
It isn't, though. It really
it
isn't.
It is.
It isn't. The
okay, let me give you just say I'll give you two opposites: A Day in a Life from Sgt. Pepper's, and Back in the USSR.
But that was rubbish.
What, Back in the USSR? You just upset every rock person on the planet.
No, I haven't. It was rubbish. Ringo Starr. It was known that he couldn't sing or perform.
Come on, let's talk about the art now.
I just got one thing to clarify.
My partner's having a row.
Back in the USSR.
Yeah.
You attributed that to Ringo Starr, right?
I did.
Are you sure you don't want to phone a friend before you do that again?
I'll see if Angela's in. Yeah. I'm not your tax evasion, Angela. It was Ringo Starr.
It wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
The Inter thing.
It wasn't.
Ask Matt as the...
Come on, Matt. Who was it then?
No, it was... Let me see. Lennon McCartney.
It was Lennon McCartney.
Hang on. Of course it was, but quite often they would split the vocals. So if you're asking me who wrote it or who sang it, what do you want to know?
I want to know who sang it first.
I think it was sung by Paul McCartney.
Correct.
See, you said you think. I said I know.
And I think...
Because you say everything with conviction. I wanted to be accurate.
Gotcha! It was Paul McCartney with John Lennon. And Ringo Starr did not sing on that track, and it was a Lennon McCartney track. You're absolutely right. Anyway, back to... I squeezed the word Lennon in there. Apparently, some of his scribblings, which were thought to be worth just over £500,000... ended up being sold for 1.7 million quid.
People really liked him. And his stuff.
He was good. He was a genius.
I didn't like it. I didn't care for the music, I got to say out loud, and I'll say that in front of Matt. I don't care. He can't judge me. I'm awesome.
Yeah.
But the sketching. I liked his art. I really liked his art. I liked his poetry.
So John Lennon to you was more of a sketcher than a musician songwriter. Yep. Is that what you're saying?
He was an artist. He was almost.
I didn't hate the music. I didn't mind it. It just wasn't really my cup of tea. I wasn't fussed either way. But I really enjoyed his art. I really liked his art.
Breaking news point here.
Go on.
Ringo did not play drums on Back in the USSR. Paul McCartney, the singing tortoise, played drums on it.
Oh, so well, Ringo Starr had nothing to do with the track that you know everything about then?
Ringo sang the song.
He did not.
Love a cry.
Ringo Starr sang Yellow Submarine.
And Octopus's Garden.
Yes, you're right. Yes, you're right, Matt. Absolutely. You're right. Anyway, moving along. I can't believe why anybody bothered to do this, but here, I've made a new one. Apparently, a copy of Vincent van Gogh's Ear, grown using some Dutch artist genetic material, has gone on display in a German museum.
And they made it on those things that you can make guns with.
Yes.
A 3D printer, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't see the point of this.
I don't.
Yes, isn't it? It's, I mean, for medical research, I really like it.
Yes.
But for just creating weird Frankenstein type stuff, this is just not right.
Yes,
and,
sure.
You know, Van Gogh was, he was a nutter. And the fact that he had no ear was the most
of his charm. Did you say nutter?
Well, yeah,
Vincent Van Gogh was off his head.
He wasn't. He was just upset.
Oh.
I get upset, but I don't go severing things off of my body. No, I don't think so. This guy was having a psychotic break,
right.
And he chopped his ear off.
He was, of course,
but you don't need. Why put the? Why,
hang on. Let's
why
just let's just
ear?
Let's just do the market research. Matt, you're an artist, right?
Yeah.
Yes, apparently.
Have you got two ears?
And whereabouts on your body are they?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yeah. I'm growing another Van Gogh, one on my hip, but I have my own two ears.
Yes.
And they're quite lovely.
Right. I think it's a non-story. This is important, boys and girls. There's been lots on the news, and I'm imploring you, please take notes. The UK's National Crime Agency has said that now we've just got a week to go before, or around about a week, before a nasty, nasty, powerful computer attack is going to hit the interweb.
Now, another one?
How do we know it's going to happen?
Because the government agencies have actually hacked into it.
Well, why don't they just do something about it then instead of...
They have. What they've done is...
So is it going to happen still then?
It could do on certain number of computers. And what they've done is they've broken the connections between this, what is called malware.
Yeah.
And that sort of takes its power away for a bit, but it can regenerate its power itself.
Oh, my God, so, it's like the Terminator.
It is.
Oh.
And so, therefore, what they're saying is quite simple. It's a simple message. Yeah. If you have a computer connected to the interweb, make sure your antivirus, your anti-malware is up to date. It doesn't cost you money. It doesn't cost you a penny because you can get all the free software from things like Avast and AVG that will do this for you. So please, I implore you, go and get some antivirus software, get it on your computer, and don't let these silly beggars who are hackers, beat you. You beat the hackers. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
And you hackers, remember that you are facing going to jail for the rest of your lives.
Indeed
now.
So. Now, there's a bit of a spat down in Australia about HealthKit, which is from an Australian start-up company, and then Apple's nicked its name, apparently.
From the core of its business.
From the core of its business, you're very good. What's happening, Rach?
Oh, look, you know, Apple are big bullies. They're just big bullies.
Rachel, be nice about people.
No, I won't. When have I ever done that? I'm going to start now.
Don't. Apple people have been driving me nuts this week.
Yeah.
They've been driving Matt nuts too, haven't they, Matt?
They've still got my laptop and it's killing.
Yeah, you're dying.
I like I have my arms cut off, yes.
Get rid of
or his ear.
I was here, yeah.
It's terrible. Okay, there's these... Apple's got these versions, this fitness app thingamajiggy that you can operate on a iOS system and all this sort of blah, blah. But anyway, this startup name, they've already laid claim to this title of this thing, this health kit, which is about something completely unrelated to Apple. But Apple's been a big bully and said, we're going to have that name. And now, of course, the firm bought the health kit domain name in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got proof of prior use. Mm. And Apple just think they can come and bombard everybody and go, well, you know, we've decided to call it that, so we're going to have it and we're going to take it off you. It's like,
they wouldn't. No, they can't.
I don't think you can.
No.
I'm pretty sure you can't. I'm pretty sure just because you're Apple, you can't just do whatever you like. So I don't think much is going to come of it. I think it's a non-story, but...
Yeah. It's something that rolls.
We like saying rude things about Apple.
No, this
cool.
is the story of this week. I make a piece of digital media. I send it to the UK. A man says, I've got it, Eric. I said, very good. Thank you very much for letting me know. About 10 minutes later, he phones up and he goes, it won't work, Eric. What have you done wrong? What have I done? I don't know. Let me check it for you. I'll happily check it. Let's go and put it into another DVD, and we try it again. Perfect. I said, it's fine. Just out of interest, what did you make it on? A Mac? Ah, yeah. There's your answer. Can't you use a proper computer? It is a proper computer! I said, no, go and get a PC. He got a PC, did it, and it worked perfect first time. It was just the Mac that was screwing the whole flipping thing up.
As a user of both, it's just the thing that frustrates me about Apple is this: as a user of both, because of the whole radio thing and Mixcraft and the program that you use, I can't do it on Apple. I've got to do it on a PC.
Good.
But I have other Apple products. But the two just won't talk to each other. They will not talk to each other.
Do you want another glaring? Apple's... Do you want another? He's absolutely horrendous. Quick Apple story.
No.
Our boss has an iPod. Uh-huh. It stops working. The people around him can't do anything with it. He says, Eric, would you do me a favour and have a look at it? So I look at it, and I've sucked all of this music out of this iPod because some of the music on there is almost irreplaceable. And there's some amazing music from, you know, really old orchestras and all the rest of it, you know, and it's quite a massive collection. We go in, eventually I said, look, tell you what, there's all the stuff. We've got it on a hard drive. All we need to do now is go and get you a new iPod, and we can plug it back in again. It's simple, you know, cut and paste job. We go to the Apple store in Luton. Man says, well, how long did you have the other one? Well, it was when they first came out. I suppose I've had it about 7 years, says Jan. She says, no, really? They're only supposed to last 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Is that right, really?
No, of course it's not, the idiot. Anyway, it's now been repaired without the help of an Apple doctor anywhere, and it sits in my car, and when I go on long drives, if I fancy a bit of the rock music or something, I push the button, and it plays in my car, and it still works.
It's just really frustrating. What frustrated me when I was trying to assemble a radio show was I'd buy things off iTunes. And see, I don't pirate my music that I play on the radio. I buy it. Plus, I don't rip off artists. So I've got a real thing about it. I just refuse to do it. Right. I buy all my tracks, but I should, as I have bought them, I should be able to convert them to an MP3 to be able to put in this software, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, you cannot do that. So very clever Rob, who lives in my house and keeps me from, like, you know, running out into the traffic.
And is a genius.
Yes.
And cutting your ear off.
Well, you know, he stopped me from cutting my ear off, but that's another story. He managed to find a program that would convert it, but now that with the new update, I can't do it anymore. So
I'll give him another program. It's all right.
Thanks very much.
I need one as well. All right. Well, think about this while we're talking about Apple, right? Quite seriously, this is not the first time that Apple have stolen somebody's name, is it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't say we could say stolen.
I use it in the euphemistic sense of word stolen.
Right.
It doesn't mean it was nicked. It doesn't mean it was taken without lawful authority. It means it was stolen.
Right.
They stole their name from Apple Studios.
Let's move on because we've got a couple of more quick studios before we run out of time on part two as well, for goodness sake.
We've got to do the plug.
This parrot is no more. It's an ex-parrot.
Oh, my God.
In New Zealand, apparently. Monty Python must have been there. What's all this about this pesky parrot, then? You live there. Paige.
I don't live there.
You're in the same bit of the world.
I don't live there.
You're an unsack.
Okay, this critically, really endangered bird.
Right.
He was reducing the size.
He was laughing at it earlier. This is not a funny story.
Maggie, she bit it on a landslide. Yeah. She got her beak caught up, and it was really awful. But the remains were found really deep in the mud by these workers. I'm not laughing.
You should have. This is the end of a species.
the kakapo is the world's oldest living bird. It's the world's oldest living bird. And it's also, did you know that it's also the heaviest type of parrot and that it cannot fly? So if it gets caught in a landslide, it's pretty much, curtains.
Oh, well, it's
anyway,
curtains.
Anyway, they found this great big bird and whatnot. But yeah. It's got this. After the death of Maggie, they found two more. And in recent months, they've found more, and their population is regrowing. So, hurrah for the parrot!
Wonderful.
Can I just ask a technical question about this story? Quite a serious one, because it might help to change the world.
Go on.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't they get this ex-parrot Maggie the Kakapo, right, and take it to that bloke who's got that machine that recreates his thingy's ear?
And then they've got the DNA.
just rebuild one.
Absolutely. And for the first week ever on this programme, that wasn't Lee's phone going, which is marvellous. Anyway,
fell out with me now.
Matt, I want to come back to you now before we finish. Now, you're going over to America. Is the idea of you going over there to be stage plays, do music? What are you going to do?
Well, I'm heading over with my wife and our soon-to-be two-year-old toddler, and we are both going to explore the film and TV world. But I love being in front of a live audience. I love doing theatre, but the LA stop is about film and TV, and then potentially we'll head to New York to do live theatre stuff. But this first stop is in the sunshine of California as we head into the winter in Australia. So,
funny that. That makes sense. That makes sense. So, I'll tell you what we should do. We'll have a word with our dear friend who's in La La Land, as I call it, which is a gentleman called Emperor Roscoe, and we'll get you on the radio out there. How's that grab you?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Well, that's the deal. Now, I'll tell you what we're going to do, boys and girls, which we don't normally do on this programme, but Matt's given us permission to do it. We're going to finish the programme with a little bit of Matt doing things the way Matt does. What are we going to hear, Matt?
Yeah, I think we're going to hear Looking for a Sign, which is a second track on my recently released album, which you can buy pretty much anywhere online. this is kind of tapping into my rock roots, I'll tell you.
Lovely stuff.
I've got plenty of those.
Boys and girls, we're going to say goodbye. Say goodbye, Emily.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Say goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye, Rach.
It's been a pleasure having you on the programme, Matt. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. You guys are fantastic.
We'll see you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.